So this is Dave from Dave and Giggles, and weeks passed since we've had Mike Pop on, and haven't gotten anything out. And the reason for that is because we had massive technical issues and lost a lot of the actual recording of that show, which is probably one of the most unfortunate things that I could think of our show, especially since that show was so important to me and it dealt with a large portion of my life and growing up and getting to talk to Mike Pop, the kid I grew up with, neighbor, you know, practically family because you grow up with him, so you're so close to him all your whole life. And got a chance to talk to him, and it was pretty powerful and it was pretty impressive. And the amount that I do have, which is about a 30-minute patch, I would love to get out and have you guys listen to it because it's definitely worthy of that. So without further ado, here is the last about half an hour of our conversation with Mike Pop, just kind of picking it up where he is talking about his time in the hospital, how weak he is, going through chemo. And without further ado, Mike Pop.
I've only done 28 days of chemo, and I have more chemo tomorrow. But like most of my blood work is actually normal, so like I don't feel weak. I feel pretty good. Like I can walk 2 miles on the floor. I actually wore pants today for the first time in 44 days.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember when you were first putting out the things where you like. Walking around the floor was like a giant chore for you. It was just like a huge accomplishment.
It was a big deal. It was a really big deal.
Right.
Like, you know, I have, like, I can't feel my fingertips anymore, and my hands can tremble pretty severely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't do a jumping jack if I wanted to, but, like, you know, I don't feel like I have cancer. Like, I know that I do.
Right.
The last couple of weeks, I haven't. I mean, especially chemotherapy for me so far has been the easiest part. But again, like I forget that I'm completely packed full of drugs to ensure that it's as easy as possible.
Right.
But yeah, the word remission did come up this morning.
That's pretty fantastic. Nice to hear. That is really great.
So, and then you know, in addition to that, it's just been. I don't know. It's an odd thing to say, but I'm actually happier now than I've been in like almost 9 years.
It's amazing. Let me ask you this one question. What perspective has it? I mean, you're still in it, and I understand that, and you're really still fighting, and all everything that goes along with that mental state. What perspective has it given you thus far? Like what? Why are you more happy now than you have been in 9 years?
Well, I mean, for starters, facing, and this is going to sound overly dramatic, but facing death on two occasions in 14 days makes you appreciate life in a way that I don't think you can possibly experience unless you've had to literally, I guess it's physically fight back because it's, you know, an internal physical thing, but, you know, it'll change the way you view the entire world, I mean, in a heartbeat, especially when you find out how close you were to death, like,
sure,
you experience it like you know things are wrong, you're out of it, and it's kind of a hazy experience, but it's, as long as you're conscious, it's there's things being processed. So coming back from that was one thing. And then being plucked out of your life is another thing.
How did that treat you? How did like being like you pretty much you're in the cancer institute. I'm not sure which one, but
I'm actually at Sloan Kettering now.
Sloan Kettering.
Yeah, transferred to Sloan, yeah.
That's great.
Which by the way, if you have cancer, this is where you should be.
I'll keep that in mind. I hope
I'm
don't
sure
need
there's
to.
Other great facilities, but This is a good place to be.
How was it like? Because I mean, that, I think that's one of like everyone's fear in some way, you know, being like, I'm going to have to put my entire life on hold for something that I have to do, whether it's good or bad. Like leaving that comfort of your stability that you're used to is a scary thing. What was that like, leaving your whole world behind you? And like, what steps did you take into leaving? Did you tell everybody? Were you like, listen, I got to go do this thing? Like, what went through your head, and what did you tell everybody?
Well, I mean, I found out I had, on December 3rd, I found out I had cancer. And by December 4th, I was admitted to the hospital by, you know, so it's 4 p.m. on, you know, 4:30 on December 3rd, you have cancer. And then sperm bank, back to the doctor. I left the doctor at like 6 p.m. And on my way to the train, I made like 10 phone calls. And I was like, hey, I have cancer. I'm going to this bar at 9:30. Like, I'd like to see you before I have to leave the world for a while. And at this point, I'm thinking I've got 5-6 months in the hospital. You know, I don't really realize what the time frame is. I find out that it's 2.5 years later. I don't know that yet. So, you know, I'm upset, and I make some phone calls. We meet at this bar. And it's kind of a weird thing because it's also my last night at home with my girlfriend. So it's like, I want to see these people. I have to spend time with my girlfriend. I just want to be home for, like, a little while and try to process what just happened, you know, knowing that I'm going to be admitted to the hospital and I don't know for how long. So you can't really prepare.
Right.
You know, I made a few phone calls, and my job is flexible enough that, like, and understanding enough that they were really cool about what was going on. I mean, you kind of hope that they are.
Right.
You know, somebody has cancer. You're hoping that they're like, oh,
sure, you don't want them to be like, well, screw you, you're fired. Maybe if you come back, we'll rehire you, you know?
Well, I run the company, so.
Well, that's good.
You know, I'm actually super critical to the functioning of the company, so it was more like, holy shit, sorry.
You can curse all you want.
What are we going to do type of thing? So you can't prepare. There's no time. Like, that's the thing, is it's like 14 hours later you're in the hospital and like, that's it.
Right.
You know, and so I called some people. I had a beer and a whiskey, and I went home and like sat down with my girlfriend and was just like, you know, everything's gonna be okay. Like, tried to reassure her that,
sure,
you know, everything was gonna be fine and it wouldn't be that long. And there's never any answer. Like, this whole thing is like just full of uncertainty.
Right.
Like,
of course.
Even now, I don't know when I'm leaving the hospital. I don't know when I'm coming back, and I don't know anything. It's like, it's just completely open. And there's like something that's exciting about that, and there's something that's petrifying about that, like, all at the same time.
Yeah, it's absolutely
sort of a whirlwind of emotions that you get to process here as best as you can.
Right. Now, so we had a technical issue, but we're back up online now. We were down for a couple seconds, but we kept talking, so it's all cool. But for the people who are listening now, we're on the phone with Mike Pop, who was diagnosed with leukemia, and you can go to his site, PopStrong, P-O-P-P, strong.com, and check out all this stuff there. And then there's the popstrong.tumblr.com and popstrong.com/fight. where you can go and donate to charities and all those things, great things that you're really backing, which is awesome. I do want to get into, because I've been reading pretty much everything that you're putting down, and it's absolutely beautiful, and it's beautiful and terrifying and everything rolled into one. But the one thing that really like stuck out to me, because it's a decision that had to be made rather than everything else pretty much lately for you, where decisions are made for you, the decision you made of, if you die, your sperm will be terminated.
Yeah.
What made you come up with that decision rather than keeping it around, that if your family decided or if your girlfriend decided that she wanted to use it, what made you decide that that's it, I want it to be terminated with me?
Yeah, so, I mean...
I mean, that's a big question, you know, like, that's a big debatable.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, when I read that on the forum, when I saw the term deceased and fatal, those words, I mean, that was, the doctor hadn't said anything about that
right.
to me. And yes, it had crossed my mind, because obviously cancer can kill you, and this may kill me. I don't, you know, I'm just getting started, and I'm way behind schedule. So it's something that's always in your brain, but that was the first time I had seen it.
Right.
So we're like 40 minutes into having cancer officially, and I just donated the saddest sperm in the world.
Right.
In a clear plastic cup. Like sperm that I don't even think I would want a child to be born from. Like, that's how sad it was. Like, if that's the experience that has to bring my children into this world, like, I don't know that I want that. So I'm thinking that, like, none of this feels right to me. Like, it's not how you picture your life going, obviously.
Of course.
You know, that's obviously not how you would picture your life going. But so now I've got, like, a minute to decide, what do I want to do with this?
Right, of course. I mean, that's like that.
You know?
Short period of time to decide such a gigantic question, and you're alone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm just staring at this question, like, trying to figure out, like, what I want to do with this. You know, do I want my sperm just around? Like, do I want a child to be raised with my sperm alone and not be a part of his life or her life? Or,
right.
You know, you just, and I just like, you know what? No, I don't.
Right.
I don't.
I think overall, yeah. I think like I probably would have made that same decision, but that the that selfishness inside of me of wanting to continue on something that's been a part of me, I think it would really sit really heavy on my mind. And I think that is a very selfish part of you that would want something to go on, even though you won't be there. But it's
now
definitely.
You have cancer.
And now you have cancer, but it is definitely a.
Like, what
a,
if your kid has cancer?
It's that's
like,
a very good point.
You want your child to have cancer?
They didn't grow up.
Now
on,
you're, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a risk. I'm a risk factor. Like,
sure.
I think
Berlaine's a risk factor. I think we need to look into this, Mike. I think we need
you
to look into
like,
Berlaine.
I don't. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know if cancer patients have cancer children, but do you want to risk that? Like, is that something I wanted to risk? Like. Could you imagine having a child with cancer? Like, every time I see a child in the hospital here, and every child I see in the hospital has cancer. And
what are the average age for, like, what's the average age for, or, like, the age range of the children that are in there?
I mean, their kids haven't even opened their eyes yet. I mean, there's, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are, basically, you can get cancer.
What's the like the because I mean when you're in there, like, from what I read, from what you're writing, like, you tried to keep a very positive, open mind and all that stuff. Is the mood in the cancer ward, is it like you, I remember you were writing, you were talking about, like, inside versus outside, obviously outside being the real world, inside being the cancer institute, but like inside, you're like, everyone smiles at each other, everyone talks to each other. Like, what is, like, the overall mood inside?
I mean, it's a mixed bag. Some people don't want to be here. Some people don't mind being here. But, like, you know, we're all...
You're all there.
We're all just trying to stay alive, basically. And, like, right now, I was on the leukemia floor, but I got transferred off of it. And then they got a influenza outbreak, so I couldn't go back.
Right.
But then they transferred me to a... So I'm on a surgical floor right now.
Gotcha.
A lot of the people here have, like severe surgical procedures done. And they're more healing than anything.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sort of secluded to this floor. And there's 15, there's, like, a lounge that you can go to that's kind of a sad place to go to. And right now, no one can really go there because of the flu. But,
yeah.
Some people are really sad, but when you make eye contact with another patient, like, we don't necessarily talk. I mean, a lot of them can't talk, but, you know, we acknowledge that we're both in this together.
Right.
And it's like, there's like this solidarity among us that, you know, like I said in my blog, it's like outside, like we have one goal in here, all of us. And inside here, we're all very certain of what that goal is.
Sure.
And that's like just live. Like, that's it. Like, I know that everyone outside, like, generally wants to live.
Sure.
Like, it's something that we focus on a daily basis.
Sure. But I mean, that, like, that outside mentality is like the back burner is to live. The, you know, like the front burner is to make money, meet a girl, meet a guy, do all this other stuff, have babies, whatever it's going to be. But that back burner is to live. When you're inside, it's that's forefront. That's everything. That is fight, live or die. That is fight for everything you have to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Pretty much. That's how we feel about it, you know? And it's a pretty incredible thing to front burner.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Right. Everything you've ever known, you know, comes to a head, and that's what you got, you know? How's your parents taking it as far? I mean, my mom would be just absolutely devastated for, you know, the whole time, but how are your parents taking it?
Yeah. You know, pretty well. You know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, we're sort of through the rough patch at the moment. And I think that's let everyone settle down a bit. So I think it's exhausting is really what it is.
Yeah, it's a good word for it.
You know, they're upset, but you got to keep a face and you got to talk to the family and everyone needs to be reassured. So it's sort of like this weird experience where I feel bad that people around me have to deal with this.
Sure.
And then the people around me have to, like, put on a face and make sure that everyone else feels comfortable. So, like, everyone is trying to make everyone else feel better about the situation.
Right.
But, you know, they're doing well. My mom actually flew to New York, and she's been here for a while. She's been here for, like, about a month, you know, living in and out of the hospital. And, you know, if I go into I will most likely go into a stem cell transplant. She'll probably come back and stay with me for however long I will be in the hospital.
The stem cell, is that something that you'd have to go out of the country for? Or is that something we do here
that's
now?
They do it here, but it's a process. So basically they need to get me into remission completely. And then my sister, who actually turned out to be a 10-10 match, which is incredible.
Really?
Yeah, so pretty stoked about that. My sister's basically gonna save my life.
Shit.
Which is pretty awesome. So she's gonna fly back to New York. They're gonna give her some drugs. They're gonna pull some of her stem cells out of her blood. They're gonna give them to me. And then hopefully my body doesn't reject them and hers don't reject my body. And then they get into this war called graft versus host disease, which is not a good thing to be in because they're basically going to wipe out my immune system to allow this to occur. And then for like 21 days minimum to 3 or 4 months, I'll be in serious solitary confinement.
Like bedridden?
No outside world. Yeah, like basically what they do is they completely wipe out your immune system, and then my sister's marrow, like her stem cells will get into my marrow, and then they'll start to create their own immune system. And however long that takes is like however long I'm not allowed to be in the world. And it's basically 9 months to a year from the date of the transplant is like, you know, you're gone. Like I'll only be in the hospital for like maybe a couple of months, and then I get to go home. And like every day, hopefully, you get better and stronger and, you know, more resilient to diseases. You're basically like you're a baby. People call it a second birthday. Like you literally all the germs you've ever gotten sick from are gone. Like you don't have any of those defenses, any of the antigens or whatever that you've built up over the time. So like you don't get sick when you eat. Like I can't eat like lettuce or tomatoes that aren't cooked or fruit without, like even right now I can't even eat it because my body can't fight those bacteria that you and most of the people in the world can just kill like no problem. And on top of that, my immune system will be so bad that the actual bacteria in my intestines can kill you.
Shit. This is terrible, Mike.
Like, this is
terrible.
Your own body's bacteria can kill you. Like, that's how.
So you need to be the Mike in the bubble. Basically, you're telling me Mike in the bubble.
I'll be a bubble boy. I'll be a bubble boy for a minimum of 1 month, but probably closer to 3 months.
That's crazy. Well, hopefully they'll get you a mobile bubble, and then you could just kind of like walk around the streets, just kind of like say hi to people.
I'll be in a room on the 8th floor, and that's it. I'll just be in this one room for that whole time, and that will be my life.
Crazy.
And you know what? Like, you know, it's a little nerve wracking, but at the same time, it's like, okay, you know, let's do this.
I mean, that's really all you can do, right? I mean, you're just like, all right, this is what we got to do. Let's do it. Keep a positive attitude and try to pull through, you know?
Pretty much. And then, you know, my girlfriend is always complaining that I'm never home.
Well,
so she gets to be completely stuck with me for about a year, which I think is incredible because I'm pretty sure she's going to hate me.
Yeah, we'll be like, why don't you go back to work, you know?
So,
I'm not going to do it. No, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, I was, so one of the things that I'm actually really excited about is, I used to paint a lot. I used to make these paintings in my studio, and I used to take pictures that I enjoy taking, and I got really distracted, and I stopped painting, and I started doing commercial photography, and I just really didn't care much for it, but, so, like, this whole experience has, like, really reawakened my creative side.
That's great.
So the awesome thing about the stem cell transplant is that, like, I can go to my studio as long as I'm physically healthy enough.
Sure. I mean, you bring your studio to your apartment, set up a little corner for some stuff.
No, I mean, my studio is really close to my apartment, so it's not a huge deal.
That's
and I'm actually, I like going there. It's sort of like my artistic man cave type of thing. But, so I'll basically have, like, 9 months, 6 to 9, maybe a year of, like, not being able to go to work. Like, I can work from home, which I can do, you know, whatever. And then I can go to my studio and just paint and take photographs and like, just be artistic, like, during the day. Like, that's going to be my day job for a year.
It's not a bad way to deal with something like that.
Yeah, plus I get to process this artistically, and it's like, it's funny that I'm like, you know, I have cancer, and that's terrible.
Sure.
But, like, it seems like it's going to allow me to do, like, a bunch of things that I should have been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the perspective that you really can look back on and be like, well, what do I enjoy doing? What do I want to do? And really focus in on that. I mean, you could get down to, like, a whole, like, series of, like, reflection of, like, you know, like what you went through and everything you've been through and props you've used along the way and like do a whole series of just that, you know, that'll last you for that entire year. I'm sure you will.
That's what like I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah.
Like I'm terrified about the stem cell transplant because I don't know enough about it to be comfortable with it. And two, because it sounds pretty awful.
Right. It does sound pretty awful.
But, like, the upside is like, yeah, I get to, like, if that goes well, and I'm hopeful that it does, like, I get this opportunity to just reclaim my entire existence. And, like, from now on, like, I can just do exactly what I want to do. And, like, I don't see any other option. And up until 45 days,
right.
Like, it wasn't even something I was considering.
It's absolutely insane.
Like, you know, it's just like, it's terrible that I have to get cancer, but it's amazing what it can do to your life.
Yeah, it eats you alive, but it also puts your life on hold, and all you could do really is hope that you come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously it's different for everybody, and at the moment it's going well for me.
Good.
And my body's responding well. And I know that not everybody, like I have some friends on the floor that, you know, their treatments are different, their odds are different, you know, so I'm not trying to make cancer sound like the best thing in the world. It's just, there are things that come out of it that are amazing. Like my family came together. I got to know my family in a different way. My relationship with my girlfriend is stronger than ever. You know, you people.
Sure.
People that you haven't talked to in 20 some odd years.
Like me.
You're chatting with on a radio show.
Sure.
You know, it's like all these things that come out of it that are pretty incredible.
That is pretty incredible.
And you embrace it and you acknowledge it. It's like, it's kind of awesome in like the actual sense of the word.
Yeah, it is really amazing. It is.
You know, so it's sort of like, I'm sort of in awe of it and what it's done and how people have reacted. And, you know, the goal is to just live through it. But in addition to that, like, make the most of it. And there's so much to be made out of it that you don't realize until you're knee deep in it. And you're like, wow, that this.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the potential to just, I mean, when do you get the opportunity to just completely change your life and make yourself happy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare
thing. Have that opportunity. You have it every day, but, like, right. You know, when do you, like, really snap out of it?
Yeah.
Especially in New York City. Like, living in New York City can be one of the most distracting things in the world, keeping you from doing what you want to do. You
sure.
know, it's so easy to get caught up in the
people
know,
wearing helmets or not. You know, whatever it's going to be, whatever little mundane thing you can think of, you know?
Yeah, no. Totally.
You will. Well, PopStrong, P-O-P-P, strong.com, popstrong.com/fight, popstrong.tumblr.com, all those great sites. You're continuing the writing and everything and the Tumblr and everything, right?
Yeah. The writing will continue until this is over.
Great. Well,
undoubtedly.
I would love to, I think we're going to head out, but I would love to touch base maybe every show. Just touch base, see how you're doing, see how things are going. I would love to keep tabs and keep promoting everything you got going.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Happy to do so.
That's awesome.
I'll have more stories as we go.
I like stories, and I hope they're good stories. We're all backing you over here, and I hope everything stays well and that big R remission word continues to pop its head out and everything goes fantastically and smoothly.
I appreciate it tremendously.
Yeah. I mean, stay in touch. We'll talk to you. I'll give you a buzz next show and we'll get you on. We'll talk a little bit about it and awesome. Thanks for touching base, Mike.
Thank you guys. Take care.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks. And there he goes. I'm going to say this.
Turn that down.
I never claimed to be a comedy show. I say it in the open.
It's true. We didn't claim to be a comedy show.
Never claimed to be a comedy. Sometimes you got to talk about the heavy shit.
You got to get real.
You got to get real. I had to pee pretty bad after all that and you giving me all these beers. So I'm going to play this song right here. Oh, fuck my. Everything is freezing. What happened during that thing?
I don't know. The internet went down. Good show.
Good show. Really good show. Thanks for Mike. Popstrong.com. I really want to everyone go read his stuff because they really are really well written and well thought out.
He's got good pictures and everything.
He's a great photographer. And I grew up next to this kid and it's crazy.
How do you get leukemia? Shit. God, man.
Not only did he get it, but my other neighbor got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's something's happening. I don't know what it is, and I hope everything works out with it, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good kid, though.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid. We all wish him well. We'll touch base with him next time. You want to say anything else before we go?
No, man. That was heavy.
That was heavy for you. You didn't say much.
I didn't say I had to listen. Well, I didn't have to, but I wanted to, you know?
I can't believe I was so mad at you when everything froze up.
It froze up, but we got it on the Zoom.
You think?
Test it out. We stop this.
Shit.
Good show.
Good show. All right. Well, Let's do this again sometime soon.
Let's do it next week. We got a guest coming up next week. He's coming back on.
Who?
Devin.
What's his deal?
The Hungry Tiger. He's Hungry Tiger. He takes people out on the grub crawls.
What's his big thing? What's his story?
He's a chef.
And?
He takes people out.
And? Shit, you got nothing for me. I got pissed.
We're gonna ask him.
All right.
Good show.
See you guys next week.